What is up, y'all? It is your boy ABK, and thank you for entering back into the nigger room. I really do appreciate each and every one of y'all for entering. And so, you know, I know I haven't been doing podcasts lately, but you know, shit happens. I've been busy. I've been working out a lot. I've been trying to get this Forex trading in, which if you guys are interested in Forex trading, just hit me up and I will get you started with a great organization that I'm with. We help you to succeed in your goals. And it's not bullshit. It's all real shit. But just know that if you don't put the work in, you're not going to see results. Just like anything else, if you don't put the work in, you're not going to see any results. So like I said, about that Forex trading thing, if you guys are interested in it, just hit me up and I'll tell you more about it. But enough about that. Let's get into these topics. And so, before I even get started with this topic, I want to make it very clear that I stand by Russell Westbrook 100%. I want to make that very, 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 very clear. So on Tuesday, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they visited the Utah Jazz in their final game of the season. And obviously, you know, they got the sweep. They swept the season series, you know. They won the four games, but that's not the point of what I'm talking about. So while Westbrook was warming up, a Utah Jazz fan named Shane Kiesel and his wife, they started directing derogatory comments to Westbrook, like, get on your knees like you're supposed to. And, I mean, first of all, I'm a man before anything. I'm a man before I'm a basketball player or an athlete. I'm a man before I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a man before I'm a podcaster, whatever you want to call it. I'm a man before everything else. And nobody should talk to me in any type of way they feel like without them thinking that there should be repercussions or some other shit that goes down. You know what I'm saying? And so Westbrook, after he heard that shit, he told them, looking right at them, that I will fuck you up, you and your wife. I will fuck both of you guys up on everything that I love. And y'all know in the black community that whenever we say some shit like that, like on everything we love, or I swear to God, or anything like that, we mean business. Like, we ain't playing. And like I said, If Westbrook's ideologies are anything near to mine, then when we say some shit like that, we mean it. Like, we don't back down and we don't care what the repercussions are. If we stand for what we believe, you got to stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Check that podcast out. But I mean, bro, I would have said the exact same thing, because I don't care if you. I mean, I wouldn't hit a woman. I don't condone to hitting women, but just because you're a girl and you throw in racist remarks as somebody, you can still get these hands. Like, racism, it is genderless. It doesn't matter if it was a man or a woman that was throwing racist remarks at you. So if she's a woman, that's okay. Since she's a woman, that's okay for her to say some shit. Since she's a woman, that's okay for her to say whatever the fuck she wants. Nah, bro, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Because I guarantee you, if it was a WNBA fan saying that to a female and a man, nobody would say shit. If it was a WNBA player who would have said, I will fuck you up, you and your husband, nobody would say, oh, she shouldn't have said that to her husband or anything like that. Nobody would say it. But, I mean, that's just my point of view. But anyways, after the game, the Jazz fan, Mr. Kiesel, he was trying to say that, oh, I didn't say that, or I wasn't even talking to Russell Westbrook or anything like that. But there were eyewitnesses that confirmed to the Utah Jazz organization that said that, nah, he did say that. Like, and even his teammates, Raymond Felton and Patrick Patterson, they both confirmed that he said that. And Patrick Patterson said that he said that and more. So whatever and more he was talking about, I don't know, man. And the funny thing is, this isn't the first time that shit like this has happened to Westbrook when he goes to Utah. Like, Utah fans, y'all have a history of talking shit or talking like giving racist remarks to athletes in that arena. Even Matt Barnes been saying this when he was playing in the NBA that freaking like Jazz fans, y'all be racist. I'm not saying all y'all, but majority carry, I mean, I don't want to say that majority carries the vote because I do believe that in America there are more people who aren't racist than they are racist. But it's just that obviously negativity shows more than positivity, which is really sad, but it is what it is. And shout out to the Utah Jazz, man, because the organization, they ended up banning him for life from any type of activities, not even just for like NBA activities from the stadium. They just like straight up banned him. And I respect that because even if you go look at the guy's Twitter, which I mean, he deleted the tweets, so I'm just gonna show you links of people who screenshotted it. Even on his Twitter, you could tell that this man is racist because he says nigger boy and shit like that. He says that somebody should fuck up Russell Westbrook and all that shit. And it was posted on his social media for a while now. Like, come on now. You know a racist when you hear a racist. And if somebody were to tell me to get on my knees like I was supposed to, bro, like I said, I would have done the exact same thing Russell Westbrook did. Because I guarantee you, if it was in person, face to face, a nigga would not say that to Westbrook or any black man in general. And it just is interesting to me how people like to be closet racist. Like if you believe in your racism so much, then why don't you be racist like in public and not just in hiding? Like it just that's just interesting to me. But anyways, even the Utah Jazz players, the Jazz players that live in that state, that they're like the most pro they're like the face of the like the team, like Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, they both said that they stand by Russell Westbrook because they know that that shit like that happens on a nightly basis in Utah. They know that Utah Jazz fans probably are, I don't know, because I hear a lot of people say that Celtics fans are pretty racist too, but that's a different topic for a different day. But I find it really like amusing that even the players that are supposed to be with the fans, they're backing up Russell Westbrook because they know that that shit happens on a nightly basis, and it's just sad, man. Like even comments on social media, people are. It's just funny to me how people are like, "Nah, Russell Westbrook shouldn't have said that. He should have just kept quiet." Oh, Westbrook's a little pussy because he gets butthurt about certain things, bruh. I don't expect white people or anybody who isn't black to understand the psychological or physical pains that black people have endured. Whether that be in the past, in the future, or in the present. I don't expect if you're not black, I don't like just like how me, I don't understand how certain white people feel about certain things because guess what? I'm not white, I'm black. But that doesn't mean that what we feel isn't relative, or that doesn't mean what we feel is right, you know? The NBA has to do something about this shit, bro. The NBA really has to do something about these fans saying whatever the fuck they want. Because at the end of the day, these basketball players that y'all say, oh, well, we pay expensive ass tickets. We're the ones that basically pay for your thing. No, you are paying. We're not asking you to pay. You're paying it willingly. Whether you pay for a ticket or not, them niggas are still gonna get paid. And at the end of the day, it's not even about the money, because guess what? Most of these basketball players, they don't flex. They're not flexing with their money, or they're not flossing with their money. They earned that. They earned that way to be on that platform with their hard work and dedication. Because the amount of hours that you spend in the gym trying to perfect your craft, or the amount of hours that you spend on anything trying to perfect their craft, you shouldn't be talked to like that. I don't see people talking to doctors who get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't see nobody cussing them out and shit like that, or anything of that nature, or being racist to a doctor or anything like that, or a lawyer or anything like that. It's not they're not privileged. They worked hard to get up there. They're not privileged by any means. Whether you believe that or not, that's up to you. But athletes or whoever has a profession, they're not they're not blessed. They are blessed, but it's because they put the hard work in to get to that position. You can't take that away from them. But I don't know, man. It's just crazy to me how some people, they just feel like just because they're paying for something, they feel like just because you paid for a courtside ticket doesn't mean that you're paying for to be a part of the action. You're paying so yeah, you can witness the action up close. Simple as that. Shannon Sharpe said it. Same shit. Instagram and Facebook shut down yesterday for whatever reason. And I mean, if y'all didn't know this, Facebook owns Instagram. So I'm pretty sure whatever happens on Facebook's end, it happens on Instagram's end. But the internet went on a frenzy, like really trying to figure out what the fuck happened. And all I gotta say is, man, if you really spend the majority of your time on social media, if you really spend the majority of your day on social media, and then that should just like shit like that. What happens if that should happen like permanently? What happens if Facebook went down permanently? What happens if Instagram went down permanently? I feel like a lot of people will not know what to do with their lives. Like it's funny, it is cool. It's funny, it's cool, and whatever that people were making memes about it and shit like that. I mean, the memes were pretty funny. I ain't gonna front, but it's just funny to me how people were real life not knowing what to do with themselves after like that shit went down. Like, I didn't even notice Instagram and Facebook went down until like probably the last hour or two when I'm like, oh shit, my Instagram ain't working. I wonder what's going on. But I don't know, man. Like I try to find myself being busy on other things because social media isn't like at first social media was where I was trying to be at or what or I was trying to showcase my career and all that stuff, but I honestly don't care about social media like that, you know? Like I'm on it. Don't get me wrong. I'm on Instagram at least probably like 45 minutes to an hour per day. Don't get it twisted. I am, but there are people who are on that thing way more, like probably like 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day. I used to be that nigga. I used to be that nigga that used to be on Instagram for like 5 hours a day. Like, you could, when you know how you could check your stats on your phone, the most used apps, and it tells you how long you use that app. I used to be that nigga, but that's the reason why we get older, right? We live and we learn. We live and we learn. But like I said, we just gotta do better, man. We just gotta do better in trying to like find ourselves because being on social media, you're not gonna find yourself. You're gonna find other people, but you won't find yourselves. And that's probably, I think, one of the reasons why we are on social media as much as we are, because we try to find ourselves in different people. But you gotta dig. You always gotta dig deeper than that, you know? Now, my last topic, the 2020 presidential election. Now, I'm not going to sit here and talk about politics or who you should vote for or the policies that you should follow or anything like that because ain't nobody got time for all that shit. But what I do want to say is there are a lot of candidates that are going to be running for the 2020 presidential election. And my personal interested presidential hopefuls right now are Kamala Harris, Andrew Yang, and Marianne Williamson. Like, based off of what I've been studying or listening to what they say and researching, those are three people that I'm like, okay, I could see myself voting for them. But that's not the point. Dreams are being sold and they're extra cheap right now. Dreams are being sold by all these politicians and they're extra cheap right now. Please, for all those who are listening to this and for all those who actually plan on voting, which I really pray that us in the black community, and not even just the black community, just everybody in general. I hope everybody votes because there's strength in numbers. There really is strength in numbers. Like I used to be that person who didn't believe in voting or whatever, or that, oh, my vote doesn't count. It's not about your vote counting. There's just strength in numbers. Cause let me just break it down to you like this. If 100,000 people were to just donate $1 to any organization or anywhere, that's $100,000 right there. $1 just based off of 100,000 people. Now just imagine how many people don't vote because they believe that their vote doesn't count. If there, let's just say that there's 2 million people who don't vote. That's or let's just say that there's let's just say that there's 2 million people that don't vote. That's 2 million votes gone. That's why people are always saying, "Oh, we gotta vote, we gotta vote, we do gotta vote," because at the end of the day, the United, I'm half Sierra Leonean and I'm half American. And I know that I could live anywhere in the world because I'm open-minded. But at the end of the day, I am American and I have the right to vote in America. And you'd best believe that I will vote because, like I said, there's strength in numbers. But do your research. Do your research on these candidates. Actually take the time to learn about your candidates. Take the time to learn what they are for and what they're against, and take your own personal judgment to choose who you believe may be the best fit. Don't just vote for somebody because they're anti-Donald Trump, because most of these candidates, that's what they're going to be trying to sell you. Or most, that's facts. Focus on the real issues that go on in your everyday life and see if your presidential hopeful is fighting for those things or they're aligned with those things. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, like, it's only word of mouth based off of what we're hearing. It's only word of mouth based on presidential elections. Don't let us put ourselves in the same position that we were in the past, where we vote for somebody just based off of what they say. Like, look at their past, look at their present. Look at what they're talking about. Do your research. You have Google for a reason. Use it. You have YouTube for a reason. Use it. Let us not put ourselves, like I said, let's not put ourselves in a similar situation as in the past, voting for someone based off what they say on TV. Do your own personal research and figure out if that's the type of candidate that you want to listen to. That's it. Pick your pick. It's 2020 is like a year, like it's a whole lot of, like it's a little less than 2 years from now, but still, that shit is gonna come up slowly and surely. Do your research now so you won't have to worry about doing your research when the presidential election happens, you know? But anyways, y'all, that's all I have to say, you know? We just talk about what we come to talk about, and we up out of this bitch, you know? Simple as that. Next podcast will be on Sunday, so I hope y'all stay checked in for that. And this is your boy AB. And thank you for entering back into the nigger room. I really do appreciate each and every one of y'all. And we out this bitch.